This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In studio with us this morning, we have Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr. Joe, how are you this morning?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm good. And beautiful day out there. Thank you for bringing that with you.
Yeah, I'm in charge of that. That's what the mayor does. Unless it's cold and wet, then no.
Kind of sets the mood for the day.
It does. It's a great day to be outside, for the pollen to be in the air, Scott.
I've noticed
for
that.
For the bees to be collecting that pollen to feed their young brood so we can make more honey. Just remember the sacrifice you make this morning is for that jar of honey you get to have later in the summer.
Now, how long have you, been a part of making honey in that whole process?
I am starting my fourth year. So, and I have about 20 hives.
20? That seems like a lot,
it
just
is.
Hearing it.
It is a lot. So that's as much as I want. Now, I have my son, Joe, who does a great job helping me on the farm. As a matter of fact, Joe runs the farm that we've got. And it's not a big farm, but it is a farm that takes a lot of TLC to maintain. And so Joe's been phenomenal at that. But Joe helps me run the apiary, the bee yard. And last year we were down a little bit, but we of the 20 hives we had probably 14 or 15 that produced, and we pulled 500 pounds. The year before we pulled over 1,000 pounds.
Do you put any additives in your honey when you're
no, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, we don't use any additives. I know some beehives have sugar water to help boost it. We don't do that. It's all natural. And when we pull the honey, we just pull it through a little metal strainer screen to pull some of the physical impurities out, like the wax and, that kind of thing, propolis and that kind of thing. But all you get when you get Cedar Snag Farm honey is raw honey.
The good stuff, then.
The really good stuff, that's right.
Again, Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr. Well, one of the topics that I think we mentioned last time but didn't talk a whole lot about, and that would be the topic of having some type of a morgue in Rutherford County that is overseen by the county and a medical examiner office, and I guess that would also include a whole staff to oversee it.
I am really glad you brought that up. I didn't know you were going to bring that up this morning, but I am really pleased because, as everybody is aware, Scott, this county is growing at an exponential rate compared to other counties. And one of the challenges of a growing county, if we're not the fourth largest county in the state, bigger than Hamilton County by population, we will be very, very soon, this year most certainly, if we aren't already. But with a population of 375,000 people, we are by far and away the largest county in the state without a forensic center and a morgue. And a forensic center, what that does is that performs autopsies, and some autopsies are required by statute if there's a criminal investigation involved. Currently, we perform about 350 to 370 autopsies a year. And that we have to send those autopsies to Nashville, along with about 60, 65 other counties in the state that send them to Nashville. So there's a significant quality control issue that we've got. And that reflects in criminal investigations, to be quite honest. And the cost is rather prohibitive. To give you an example, to send an autopsy to Nashville costs the county $2,500 an autopsy. If we're able to send it to Knoxville, their facility charges only $1,950. So the distance is the issue, because transportation is a financial issue, but Rutherford County is in desperate need of its own forensic center. And I'm glad to say the county commission and I are working on a solution, hopefully, fingers crossed, to find the money to build a $15 million forensic center about 18,000 square feet on Weekly Lane in Smyrna. So we're excited about that. Very excited.
If Rutherford County has their own forensic center, and I know you've mentioned the idea of this before, but what do you see with the local university and how that could play a role in that forensic center?
Well, there is a a lack of forensic pathologists, those doctors who perform autopsies, because it's a specialty science in the field of medicine. And so there is a national shortage of forensic pathologists. What MTSU and Meharry Medical are trying to do is to fill that gap. And so what we hope we're able to do once we build this construction is to partner with Middle Tennessee State University and Meharry Medical so that can also be a teaching facility. The advantage to Rutherford County in that is that lowers our operating costs, which is a significant part of the budget with regard to operating a forensic center.
Do you remember that show that used to be on, I think, the Discovery Channel years ago, and it was the Nashville Medical Examiner who was routinely on, and they would focus on whatever crimes are
yeah,
being investigated?
I do remember that, and we don't want to be on TV, Scott. But what we do want to do is we can lower the purpose of this is to increase the throughput, increase the quality of the forensic science related to criminal investigations in Tennessee, relieve the backlog, because it's taking months to get these reports back after the autopsy is done. But more importantly, it's to lower the cost. We actually lower the operating cost of our forensic medical team if we operate our own facility.
You know, outside of the cost for these autopsies, I cannot imagine just the pain for some of these families out there if their parent, somebody was murdered, somebody, you know, something happened, and they have to wait literally months to find out more details about that death.
And that's the emotional family piece that you're on. You should talk to Commissioner Alan McAdoo about his experience with his brother when he passed away. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, because Mac has been quite public in his dissatisfaction with the way he felt like he and his family were treated when they had to secure those services, forensic medical. So Commissioner McAdoo is a strong proponent of this, and I'm grateful that he is helping us take the lead in getting this done.
And do you think there is money to fund nearly every aspect of something of this size?
So we are working, it's a little early yet. We won't know how we're going to fund it exactly till we get through this physical year, which ends June 30th. But Michael Smith and I believe, absolutely, we will not raise taxes to have to do this. That is a no-go. We won't do that. So the first thing we're trying to find out is can we marshal enough savings in other budgets throughout the county this fiscal year to create a surplus so that we can fund this internally? We think there's an opportunity to do that. If not, then we may have to go to the bond market for a small portion of it. Certainly not the entire $15 million, but maybe $5 or $6 million of the 15. The other thing I've done, and I'm glad the cities of Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne have expressed an interest in sharing in the one-time construction cost of this facility. So I have sent letters to Mayor McFarland, Mayor Mary Esther Reed, and Mayor Jason Cole, asking them for a one-time stipend to help facilitate the construction cost of this facility. Obviously, Rutherford County would bear the vast majority of that burden, but we're asking them to partner with us in doing that. And so they're considering that, and I'm grateful for that consideration.
Of course, you've got nearby cities like Shelbyville, Manchester, Woodbury. Would all of them send, you know, those deaths to be investigated to Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, Smyrna?
So we have had conversations with mayors from Robertson County, Sumner County, Coffee County, Bedford County, Murray County, the surrounding counties. And yes, there's a sincere interest that they would send their autopsies to Rutherford County, thereby increasing their quality control, thereby increasing the bandwidth, the return on that report. The report that autopsy generates is very, very important in criminal investigations. I cannot overstate that enough. And so, yeah, so we're going to be able to create some opportunities to help pay for this facility by offering a better service, a quicker service, and a more financial economic service to those surrounding counties.
Yeah, and I'm guessing Nashville would probably even utilize this facility on occasion,
I doubt it.
Not if they needed to fast track the
well,
case.
Well, the thing is the Nashville Metro Government and Forensic Medical, by the way, which is the only privately owned
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Facility in Tennessee. They've got a rather cozy relationship, so I don't imagine Davidson County will be sending their autopsies to Rutherford County, but that's okay.
How is that privately owned? I never even would ever guess that would be the case.
But they are privately owned by what's called Path Group, a conglomerate out of Chicago, and they're privately owned. Now, you got to know that in Memphis and in Johnson City, there's a partnership between the university system and the local government for their forensic centers in Memphis and Johnson City. In Knoxville and Hamilton County, the other two forensic centers, they're operated by the local county government. And we're going to probably pattern ourselves after Knox and Hamilton County. And we could grow into a hybrid version of that after we get the thing constructed and operational, depending on what the relationship between MTSU, Rutherford County, and Meharry Medical might look like.
And how many years down the road do you actually see something like this, should we get one, actually happening?
I am hopeful with the county commission's cooperation, and we still got some discussion, and we got some debate, and we got to go through all that, and which is a necessary part of making sure we're making the best decision for the county. But I'm hopeful that we can begin construction before 2025.
That's pretty soon, then.
That's pretty soon.
Again, Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr in studio with us this morning. If you have any questions, feel free to text those in, 615-893-1450. So what other things are going on right now in the county?
Well, the biggest issue in the county is that we talked about this last month, is House Bill 2426 and Senate Bill 2261. Which is the bill that changes the County Powers Relief Act and changes the formula for how we fund our schools internally. And that bill was written by the home builders and the realtors, and is being carried in Nashville. And I have some concerns about it. I have some genuine concerns about it, because there appears to be a trap door in there that's going to penalize potentially 15 other counties who operate under private act, like Williamson, Wilson, Dixon, Loudoun, Trousdale, other counties that operate under a private act for how they fund their schools. But it also puts a cap on Rutherford County. And so I wish the bill would allow Rutherford County the same authority that the cities of Rutherford County have and the counties like Williamson and Wilson has, but the home builders and the realtors are determined to not allow Rutherford County that same authority.
Well, I understand that a number of people from Rutherford County actually went to Nashville to speak about this idea of being able to charge some type of additional tax in order for Rutherford County to gain that extra money, but nobody was allowed to speak.
That is correct. Myself, about a half a dozen, eight county commissioners were invited to the committee to testify before the committee on behalf of Rutherford County, and then the committee voted to not let us speak.
What happened?
I do not know.
You're standing there.
I know that Representative Charlie Baum did a yeoman's job on behalf of the county. I will tell you this. When I was in the General Assembly, Scott, things were entirely different. And I mean it in this respect. When I was up there, it didn't matter what the bill was or how crazy the bill was. And there were some crazy things introduced when you're up there. But a colleague, whether you're Democrat or Republican, a colleague in the General Assembly, whether House or Senate, always got to present their bill, always got to have a county mayor and a county commission speak before the subcommittee. And it didn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. Now, your bill may go down in flames. You may have no votes, but you always got what's referred to as a motion and a second to present the bill and to present your side of the argument. It's different now. The Republicans not only do not let the Democrats speak, Republicans don't let Republicans speak at all. They just don't even let them present the bill. And they deny them motions, they deny them seconds. And that's what happened there. Charlie was denied a second on allowing us to hear the amendment to his bill to allow Rutherford County that same authority. And when that happened, they denied the Rutherford County mayor and the county commissioners the opportunity to speak.
And bring us up to date. What exactly is the county? What are you wanting to see happen as far as some type of impact fee tax for the county?
I don't have an idea about what an impact fee or tax is, and so I don't have a number for you, and I keep trying to say this. What I'm fighting for is fairness. I'm fighting for, why does Williamson County and Williamson County, those counties, have an act, a private act that allows them authority? Why do the Smyrna, Murfreesboro, Laverne, Eagleville have that ordinance that gives them authority, but Rutherford County as a body is not granted the same authority? We're denied the very things that the General Assembly has said Williamson, Wilson, Dixon, Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Eagleville can do. And as a result, we're the only solution available to us to pay for this growth that no other, Williamson is experiencing, Wilson's not experiencing like we are, but certainly not Dixon. Then why are we denied, the county commission and the mayor denied, that same authority that other local governments already have? So I'm fighting for authority like and parity like the other counties and the cities have.
But does the county have an adequate facilities tax, or did we used to have one?
So what we have is we have an act that is legislated by the Tennessee General Assembly called the 2006 County Powers Relief Act. And so because we came under that, we no longer have a private act. We would not have come under the 2006 County Powers Relief Act if we had had a private act that allowed us to do what the cities are doing and what the other counties are doing. And so we were forced to make a choice back in 2021. Do we want to come out of our development tax of $1,500 and go under the County Powers Relief Act, or we do want to stay under the private act? And so we came out from that and went under the County Powers Relief Act, but it's a dollar a square foot, and it is wholly inadequate compared to other counties. Let me give you an example. In Williamson County, they have about 41,000 students they educate over there. They generate about $30 million in impact fees and development taxes every year. And this is 2022. Rutherford County, now not counting Murfreesboro, but in Rutherford County, we have 52,000 students and we generate less than $6 million. So we have 10,000 more students and we generate $25 million less dollars annually. Now, tell me how that is fair. In Wilson County, they have 19,000 students and they generate over $17 million. So you can see per student, we're way, way, way down the list. As a matter of fact, across the state, there are like 135 different LEAs, school districts. We're like 120, 110 in funding per pupil in Rutherford County.
So there's a dollar per square foot fee in Rutherford County. Is that for both commercial and residential construction?
No. It's just residential.
Literally, those who live here are paying everything, and those who are building new commercial businesses for maybe even large companies moving here, they don't pay anything extra?
The people who are paying need to go out. No, you asked two different questions. I want to make sure I understand your question. Right now in Rutherford County, those who are paying for the construction of new schools is the existing property tax base. That is what's patently unfair, because the existing property tax base is not meant to fund new growth. That was never what property taxes were designed for. And I will debate this issue to my grave. Property taxes, and this is very important for the listeners, property taxes are specifically designed to maintain and upgrade the existing infrastructure, whatever you want to call that, schools, roads, fire, EMS, law enforcement, whatever, parks, whatever you want to call it. It's there to maintain and upgrade the existing infrastructure, not expand that infrastructure. So when you need to expand that infrastructure because of new growth, new development, new houses, people coming in here, who should pay for the expansion of that infrastructure? I maintain the expansion of the payment of that infrastructure growth should be paid for by those who are asking for it, not you and not me. I didn't ask for them to build a new 500 unit subdivision in out on Highway 96. I don't get any benefit out of that. So why are you raising my property taxes, Mr. Mayor, to fund growth that I never asked for? If you want to build a 500 unit subdivision out on Highway 96, knock yourself out. Go do it. You got my blessing. But you need to pay for the infrastructure support services necessary to to take care of that new community. That's all we're saying. And Williamson County, Wilson County, Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne have that ability to do that. We don't have that ability.
And so let's say a big company coming in, a big residential development coming in.
Yeah.
The way it...
Let's Del Webb, out there on Highway 96. That's hundreds and hundreds of new units. It's a Pulte development.
And so when something like that comes in right now, is, let's say, for example, the county, are they saying, all right, it's going to cost $50 million of additional infrastructure. We're going to get a bond to pay for that. That way you, the developer, can pay that monthly cost of the loan, basically, to pay for it. But we're going to, you know, do the upfront math and help you out with getting that approved. But you're going to pay for it, developer.
All I want is if you want an expansion of services that currently are not necessary or provided, those who are requiring the expansion of that service should pay for it. We're talking about infrastructure, and we're confining our argument, Scott, of infrastructure to schools, roads, fire, EMS, and law enforcement. But infrastructure is also electricity, sewer, water, those internet, those kind of things. Guess what? The developer has no problem putting in, building a road in that subdivision. They have no problem putting in water and sewer and internet. And you know why? Because those things are fundamental to them issuing a certificate of occupancy so they can sell that dadgum home.
Yeah.
They understand that. But what they don't understand is when you move a family of four, two kids and two adults into a home.
Which you won't find at Del Webb.
You will not find that at Del Webb. But I just use that as an example of a large development. That's correct. But they still need fire, EMS, and law enforcement out there, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that not infrastructure?
Yeah.
Do they not have those needs? Are you going to say that we're not going to provide if their house is on fire? We're going to say, you know what? I'm sorry, but we can't do that. No, of course not. We're going to do that. So there, my point being is that that infrastructure, that new expansion infrastructure, needs to be paid for. The question is, who should be responsible for paying for it? The question I have for the listener is, as a property existing property taxpayer that's not asked for the expansion of that infrastructure or that new development, should you be on the hook for paying for it?
Are we at a point now, or are we getting to a point where it's going to be cost prohibitive for, let's say, a local fireman, a local teacher, to buy a home or own a home in Rutherford County?
That is the same argument that's being discussed in Wilson and Williamson County. The answer is absolutely it is. And so the issue is affordable housing, and it's a good argument to have. And the best way to create more affordable housing is to retain the older homes in the urban areas. That's where the affordable housing is. Builders don't build affordable housing, Scott. There's no money in it. They talk about it, but they don't build it. The affordable housing in Rutherford County is inside the cities of Murfreesboro and Smyrna and Laverne. And we run people out of that affordable housing, or we make it unaffordable when we raise property taxes for stuff they don't have any benefit.
Yeah, if a one-acre lot costs, let's say, $35,000 in 1999.
In 1999, that'd be right.
If it cost that in 99, you could afford to build a less expensive home on it. But today, if that same one acre lot is selling for $200,000, and I'm not sure what an acre is selling for, then you cannot afford to build a house that is a vinyl sided home at 1,200 square feet.
No, you can't. The builder won't build that home either, because there's, whether he could sell it or not, this profit margin. He can take that same 1 acre and he can put a $750,000 home on it, and his markup on that home is going to be in the 20-30% range. So would you rather make 25% of $750,000 or 25% of $250,000 on that 1 acre lot? It's a no-brainer. These guys are in business to make money, and I want them to make money. But they're not in the business for affordable housing. And when they say that, it's all subjective, because now affordable housing is defined as something in the $350,000 to $450,000 range. So we've just changed the definition of affordable housing, and it's not affordable at all.
In the city of Murfreesboro and also in the town of Smyrna, we are seeing more and more homes that were built, let's say, in the 70s, 80s, being torn down to make way for new, larger homes. Are we seeing that same type of thing happen in the county, yet outside of the city limits?
not in the county so much, but you are seeing it in the city, and that is the erosion of affordable housing. I'm telling you, affordable housing, if you're interested in providing affordable housing for seniors and for new families, it is older existing housing in the urban area, that first home or that final home, right? And and so we have to figure out how we hold on to that, because it's the only place where people can begin their home ownership journey.
Had a question text to us. Are there protocols in place to handle traffic in areas where apartments are being built, especially, as an example, it says the area around the avenue? And of course, I know that's a, you know, something that the city oversees for the avenue for the most part. But are there protocols in place, and are we seeing apartments be built in the county now outside the city limits?
No, apartments are not built in the county. And the reason is because city sewer services are required generally for that. Now, there are some exceptions, but they're pretty rare. I can't think of maybe but one or two apartment complex that's in the county that's not serviced.
I don't know of one.
I think there's one out on John Bragg Highway past Walmart, I believe, is the one that I can think of, Scott. But that is an exception. Most apartment complexes are built within the city limits, and as such, the traffic congestion that results and the congestion in our schools that result is a probably a question for Mayor McFarland.
And of course, you'd have to have, I guess, a step septic system of some type in place. Of course, for neighborhoods in the county, you have to have something like that, unless the yards are big enough to have the septic in the yard, front or back.
Right. Now, but with apartments, that's not possible, because there really isn't much of a yard.
Concrete and asphalt.
Exactly
there.
Right. Yeah. It's usually reserved for parking, and you may have a place for your dog to relieve itself, but that's about it, and it's not that big of an area, so it's certainly not large enough for a step system.
Do you ever foresee any type of infrastructure being built in the county that would allow for a real sewer system?
You know, that's something I've thought about, and I guess I would be interested in looking into that, and especially if there was some federal grant money available. But the problem that Rutherford County has is it's just not that our soils are our clay soils, which make it marginally unsuitable for septic systems. But we have a lot of rock, and it's very, very expensive to lay in a sewer system. Coming through that limestone rock is not inexpensive, and so, which is a double negative. So it's very expensive, and so by virtue of that, it's cost prohibitive. So I don't know how we get there. It's some place we would need to go. But what you're illustrating is the problem of, well, Mayor, if we can't afford the growth without raising property taxes again, and I'm just telling you, we will not be able to continue to grow without additional property tax increases. There's just no way. And I'm just opposed to that. Then what we've got to do is we got to figure out how to maybe do something about the kind of growth we want. Do we want to grow 3 or 4%? Because if we were growing at 1% or less, like Hamilton County, we wouldn't be having this discussion. We could manage that internally. It's not the growth, it's the rate of growth. So does the county then say, we're going to have to go from 3.5% down to 1% growth? We've got to figure out how to manage this so we don't continue to put the burden of that growth on the existing property tax base.
You know, when you have all the growth that we are seeing in Rutherford County, of course, you're seeing a lot of growth in Nashville as well. We're seeing people from Nashville moving to Murfreesboro, and then we're seeing people in Murfreesboro move to places like Shelbyville and Manchester to save a little money.
That's the order of things. Now, I will say this. Nashville, Davidson County, is not growing. There's an exodus going on. They may be holding steady. They may even be slightly losing population year over year. And that migration is what's coming into Rutherford County, especially the northwest part of the county. Smyrna and Laverne are growing like crazy. And we just got to figure out if we want this growth, do we want to pay for this growth? And if we want this growth and we're going to pay for this growth, who's going to pay for it? Because those are the choices we have.
You know, over the last three mayors in Davidson County in Nashville, we heard talks of, transportation and having the idea of having a light rail system. In fact, we've heard that talk for a long time, but a light rail system between Nashville and Murfreesboro, and then even Nashville and Chattanooga. Is there any glimmer of hope that something like that would occur and would be built?
I honestly think, Scott, the only reason transportation officials talk about that is to give people a glimmer of hope. I just don't see how that's going to happen. If the Tennessee Department of Transportation, now think about this for a second. If the Tennessee Department of Transportation says it's cost prohibitive to put a fifth or a sixth lane in I-24 from Murfreesboro to Nashville to relieve congestion, which they are adamantly opposed to, by the way, do you think they're interested in putting in a light rail?
You know, I don't think so. But
I don't either. So, I mean, I'm just trying to unpack this thing. I'm trying to look at TDOT's logic, and they are dug in on no additional lanes.
But there's federal funding available for a lot of this type of thing, even though a lot of that type of thing we're overspending at the federal level. But there is federal
Well, I think to get a light rail, you have to be in California and throw a ton of money away. They're not willing to throw it away in Middle Tennessee right now. I think it's a great idea. But let me give you an example. The Tennessee Star that runs from
Lebanon area into Nashville.
It is not fully utilized.
No.
Not at all. It's not fully utilized. And it goes right down to Riverfront.
Easy to find a seat on that thing.
It is. Easy to find a seat. So we have people in Tennessee and in the South, we like our independence. Praise God. I love mine. And I like having my independence means I get in my car and I get to go where I want, when I want, and I'm not dependent on somebody else's schedule. So we've got that cultural aspect to this.
You know, it's not so much a matter of being selfish. It's just a matter of it's not going to work out for most people to take a commuter bus, a commuter train to and from work because there's things you have to do throughout the day. There's errands you have to run. And it's not logical to do that if you have a rail system that goes from point A to point B and that's it.
I completely agree. And so we have to, whatever solutions we come up to deal with the problem of all this congestion, and it's just the congestion, it's just not in traffic, it's just everywhere right now for Rutherford County, then we need to step back and look, okay, what is possible within the cultural paradigm in which we're working? In other words, this model. Because there are some cultural restraints that we have, and I'm fine with that. You know, either we change the culture or we work within the culture. Those are our choices.
Again, Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr in studio with us this morning. We're going to take a short break. Our number is 615-893-1450. If you'd like to text us this morning, 615-893-1450. And again, we're going to take a break. But next question, it does have something to do with illegal aliens here in Rutherford County. So we'll get to that one in just a second. Again, the time right now, 8:48. Make sure you stay with us.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric organizing Rutherford County's 23rd annual Earth Day celebration Saturday, April 20th, 10 to 2 on the Murfreesboro Square. They're providing free hot dogs and popcorn, plus the electric griddle food truck serving gourmet grilled cheese. Check out rcearthday.com.
For almost 150 years, First National Bank of Middle Tennessee has been helping local businesses with their banking needs. Hi, I'm Justin Burris, commercial banker at the 1708 Gateway Boulevard location. Let us show you how easy it is to do business with a true community bank. Local people making local decisions for our friends and neighbors like you. First National Bank of Middle Tennessee, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC, NMLS number 401715.
By growing up in the restaurant business and being always around it, it was just something that was just second nature to me. I didn't realize the amount of work that was involved in it. I didn't understand and appreciate all that my parents sacrificed in order to provide for us. And now I'm very thankful and I'm very appreciative of the foundation that they laid for me so we could teach others to create what they have done to make it more of a legacy than just a passing of the torch.
This is Peter Demas inviting you to enjoy a meal with our family at Demas's Restaurant.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Right now, that time, 8:52. You're listening to WGNS, and with us in studio this morning, Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr. Well, there were reports, I guess, a couple of months back about how places like Williamson County received some type of notice from the federal government, and I believe it was from the Department of Homeland Security saying, hey, we questioned quite a few people who came over here illegally, and they told us they were more than likely headed to Rutherford County or Davidson County or Williamson County. Just wanted to give you a polite heads up. But you understand what I'm saying, that was something that I guess counties or either city mayors received word of in some type of form or another.
So there's a lot of rumors going around about that. Let me be very direct. First, Rutherford County, the mayor, I did not receive any notification.
Not a text or Facebook message.
Not a hi, how are you? Not even a get off my lawn text, email, letter, notification of any kind from the department, either the State Department of Homeland Security or the Federal Department of Homeland Security. What I did receive was a public notification that they were relocating 600 illegals to Middle Tennessee in the aforementioned counties. Now, I received that notification at the same time through the media, the same time everybody else did. So I did not get any advance notice.
But it wasn't advance to begin with.
No.
It said we talked to them, what, 6 months ago or something strange like that.
Yeah, but you got to understand, and this is what you and I were talking about off air. I found it interesting. Why would the Department of Homeland Security send out that public service announcement?
Why would they?
Because they got caught, I suspect, at sending literally thousands and thousands of relocating thousands and thousands of illegals into our community. And so they tried to do it was a public relations move. And the Biden administration is really good at public relations. It's what they're really good at. They're not really good at governance, but they're good at public relations, and especially when it comes to the border. And so they were trying to get out in front of a story, but we have evidence that the Department of Homeland Security, the Federal Department of Homeland Security, through Catholic Charities, has relocated thousands of illegal immigrants into Middle Tennessee, and they've been doing that for a couple of years now. So it's not like they've just started doing it. They've been doing it. I mean, since the Biden administration has been in power, the estimate is over 8 million illegal immigrants have entered the country. 8 million. Now, that is a lot of folks. Now, I can promise you a substantial number of those are now in our community. And that's a part, goes back to part of the growth equation. Who's responsible for feeding them, housing them, finding them jobs, educating them? Who's responsible? Let me give you a statistic. Dr. Jimmy Sullivan, superintendent of schools for Rutherford County, told me.
This next question has, it's right along those same lines. But go ahead.
Yeah, so
the county schools.
Dr. Sullivan told me in the first 3 months of the new school year, August, September, October of 2023, all right, so we're 2024, in 2023, Rutherford County received over 700 new ESL students. That is English second language. 700. Now, we get to educate. We get to bear the cost of educating those students. Rutherford County does. And so that is only a stipend of a look at the problem, a small glimpse at the problem. But this is a massive problem for our community.
And while our country was built on immigration, it was not built on illegal immigration.
I would respectfully disagree.
You think it was built on illegal immigration?
I think our country was built on laws and the rule of law.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is we are a country that is not governed by men in their station, but by all laws apply to all, hopefully the same and fairly. We don't get to pick winners and losers. So, and that's what we're doing right now. We're picking illegal immigrants as winners over the property tax base, which is the loser that is now required to subsidize this effort.
I don't see...
We're a nation of laws, is my opinion.
This next question, it says, Mayor Carr, how many illegal aliens have been forced upon Rutherford County by the federal government? And what's the financial burden due to this currently?
I would the federal government does not communicate with the state or the local governments in this regard. They do that on, that's by design, that's on purpose. We know that we've had 700 new English second language students in the first 3 months of the school year. We know that, and their families have are here. We know that. Whether those are illegals or not, I can't ascertain, but chances are they a significant portion of them would be.
While a huge number of those who are coming into America illegally are crossing over right there at Mexico into Texas and that whole area, the huge percentage of those who are coming here are not necessarily from Mexico at all.
No.
Japan, all over the place.
There's a significant majority coming from South America. We have a significant part coming from the Middle East. China now is a huge place where illegals are coming from. And they're coming across, and then to relieve the congestion on that border, the DHS is redistributing them throughout the United States, and Tennessee is part of that redistribution effort.
And
they do not inform us. They don't tell us.
As those who do come over into our country illegally, does DHS stop them and ask them a few questions, and then they say, all right, contact us in a couple of months when you have stabilized living arrangements?
I don't know what DHS is doing, Scott. I don't have a clue. I do know what DHS is doing. It's called catch and release. They're catching them when they can, and they don't seem particularly interested in catching all of them, but they catch what they can, and then they release them. They don't turn them back and put them back across the border.
Then what's the point of catching them? We only have like 55 seconds left.
That's obviously a rhetorical question, because you and I both know the answer to the point of catching them is to say that we caught them, and that would be the extent of it.
That's about it. If anybody has further questions for you, can they call you at the county office?
Absolutely. Call me, contact me, email me. Got a wonderful staff, and we love talking to the listeners out there, and we really appreciate WGNS providing this format to share our ideas and what's going on in the county.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning.
As always, we enjoy it.
Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr. Time right now, 9 o'clock. You're tuned to WGNS Murfreesboro.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Lessons, we got that. Drums and every other instrument with strings or keys. Music World and Drummer's Den, the one-stop shop where you have everything that you might need. Ukuleles, violins, things that they're not expecting to find just everywhere they go. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course. Music World and Drummer's Den,